Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to begin reading this morning with verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Let's talk about this for a minute. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. There are things that I can do as a Christian because I have been cleansed by the blood of Christ that in and of themselves may not be wrong, but because of the attitudes and beliefs of other people will be offensive. Now, let's illustrate like this. My church, Calvary Bible Church, takes a position on not partaking of any intoxicants. Now, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not drink wine or you go into hell. It doesn't say that. Paul, as a matter of fact, encouraged Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. It was used medicinally. We're not talking about recreational drugs, recreational drinking, social drinking. The Bible doesn't say that. Now, while it may be lawful unto me, it would not be expedient for me as a, pastor. I've got the freedom to do that. But it's not expedient. What do you mean it's not expedient? It would not be profitable. Yeah, that's right. Your church would throw you out. Well, I would expect them to. I think that's the right thing to do. But at the same time, consider this. Let's say I'm not a pastor. Let's say I'm just somebody sitting in the pew. Okay, I've been saved for a number of years, and I've come to the conclusion there's nothing wrong with drinking a little wine with my dinner or my supper. Okay, no problem. It doesn't bother me at all. However, somebody sees me going into a store and walking out with a jug of wine, a bottle of wine, or whatever. Sees me do that, based on my example, they say, well, if he can do it, and he's a good Christian, if he can do it, must not be anything wrong with it. I can do it too. Now, they say, and I do not know whether there is a large body of scientific study to back this up, but I've heard it said that 1 in 5 people become an alcoholic with the first drink. That is, they immediately wow, I got to have more and more and more and more with that first drink. Now, whether or not that is an absolutely accurate statistic or not, I do not know. But I'm not willing to take the chance to find out. You see, for me to drink, I mean, I know me pretty well. I know that if I got hooked on it, I'd have an awful time getting rid of it. Habits are terrible things to break. And if you know somebody who is enslaved to a habit, don't look down your nose at them. Don't make mock of them. Don't revile them. But you need to understand, they're hooked. It's not a sickness. It is instead a dependency, an addiction. An addiction that owns them. They're slaves. You can be addicted to anything, I suppose. But the fact is, let's say somebody takes my example for their own. And let's say they go ahead and they say, well, if he can drink, I can drink too. Well, let's say I drink, you know, just enough with a meal and I never get intoxicated, and, you know, fine. But the other person doesn't follow that example, doesn't know that part of it. And so they get rip-roaring drunk. Now, am I not responsible for that? They followed my example. Well, now, that's their choice. I set the example. I was in a position of being a role model, and I betrayed. I didn't use good. It was not expedient for that younger Christian to follow my example. It will not be expedient for me at the judgment seat of Christ, because I'll give an answer for that. I don't want to be responsible for somebody falling into sin because they followed my example. It would not be expedient. I may not have to pay the penalty for what I've done, but my friend, do you think I'm going to get off scot-free without some chastening, some loss of reward, if by my example I cause somebody else to get in trouble? Not good, friend. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. It's funny. There was a man a century or two ago, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was a Baptist preacher in England, and he was called the Prince of Preachers. He probably was one of the most eloquent preachers ever to live. Certainly, since people have been writing sermons and keeping, you know, current account of what people are doing in that sense. And as the Prince of Preachers, he had a tremendous following. And for 12 years, from the time he went into the ministry, for 12 years he smoked cigars. Never saw a problem with it. And certainly that was before there was any attorney general, any surgeon general to say there was anything wrong with it as far as causing cancer or anything like that. For 12 years he smoked cigars and didn't see anything wrong with it. But one day he got to thinking about this verse. He got to meditating. I will not be brought under the power of any. And he quit smoking cigars. Not because the Bible says thou shalt not do it, but he said, look, here's Paul saying, I will not be brought under the power of any. Nothing is going to control me but the Lord, and I'm going to allow these cigars to tell me I got to light up, I got to spend my money on this, I have to do it, I won't do it, and he quit. Now, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Christian, there is a principle you would do well to allow to master you, and you master it. Meats for the belly, and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. You are, according to the Scripture, if you have been born again, you have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You will notice here, meats for the belly, belly for the meats. Oh, well and good, there's a connection there. But both of them are going to pass away. What? You mean my belly's going to be destroyed because I'm eating meat? No, not because you're eating meat, but because of the temporary nature of this physical body. You're not going to take this body to heaven with you. You got to have a new one. What you do with your body in the sense of it is physical, it's not eternal. Your present flesh is not. It's in the process of deterioration. It is in accord with the second law of thermodynamics, moving from the complex to the simple, breaking down. Now you'll notice here, there are some things that are right. Meat for the belly, belly for the meat. Okay, fine. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Now please keep in mind, fornication is an illegal, it is a non-biblical physical intercourse, okay? With a member of the opposite sex. This, you see, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. It's amazing to me how many people think with a mind no higher than the belt buckle. That's what it's all about for a lot of people. And notice, please, your body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his power. Know ye not that your body, your bodies, are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Now, chapter 5, 6, and 7, dealing with immorality in the church. Here it is. You saw you've seen the things. He says, look, you got to keep this straight. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. You'll note that God raised up the Lord Jesus Christ by his own power, and according to the scripture, will also raise us up, that is, those who are born again, will raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? You belong to him. You belong to him. Remember in Ephesians chapter 5, the relationship between the husband and wife that is described there is to be an illustration of the relationship between Christ and the church. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. I'm joined to Christ. Can I then, as a part of the body of Christ, have illicit relations with a whore, with a prostitute? Harlot and prostitute, basically the same word, the same meaning. Whore is different. A harlot does what she does for money. A whore does it for enjoyment. They ask the question. And because in Corinth, for that matter throughout the Roman Empire, it was customary, a prostitute was just doing business. Going to a prostitute was time for relaxation, a little therapy, not having problems with the old lady at home. I'll just go ahead and pay the lady here on the street, and we'll just, you see, that was the way society was. You see, in the ruins of Pompeii and Herculaneum, in those cities, it kind of brought it into stasis. It kind of froze a segment of everyday Roman life. One of the things I found there was this, that when a boy turned 11 in the Roman culture, it was viewed as he was becoming a man. In Pompeii, there's evidence to show, to picture, a father taking his 11-year-old son to a whorehouse, to a brothel, and buying him the services of a prostitute. Well, it was, you want the boy to learn how to do everything right, so who's going to know better than a prostitute? And sex education? Oh, yeah, with a vengeance. Yeah, you see, in Corinth, this kind of thing was something that was, well, it wasn't remarkable. It wasn't anything that was looked down on by society as being, oh my goodness, you're contributing to the delinquency of a minor. No, that's just the way it was. Everybody did it. It was expected. Now, wait a minute. It was expected by society, but was it right for Christians? Look, you're in a world that has its own set of values, but those values are not yours, or not supposed to be. And if they have been your values, those values are to have been superseded and influenced by your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he that is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh? And once again, the clock says it's time for me to stop. About 10 seconds and last. I hope you'll join me tomorrow as we continue our study here in 1 Corinthians. And let's look together and see what the Bible says.